Well, good morning. It's a Monday morning. How are you doing this Monday morning? So hopefully you had the rest of a very beautiful weekend. Probably you had a beautiful weekend, beautiful enough not to be, not the Monday, not to be, a blue Monday for you, or maybe good enough actually your Monday to be a blue Monday this morning. Well, I never had a blue Monday. My Monday is always a green one, if there is such a one, if such a thing as a green Monday. So Monday is always a green one. Good morning. How are you doing? Wherever you find yourself. So what is the weather like? It's burning. Last time I told you guys, we are the one on the, you know, that bright stand in the north. Now we are the one on the bright stand. We are being, you know, bright. So it's terribly hot. It's really, really, really hot. Hopefully where you are, it's beautiful weather. It's raining probably. Or it's a nice and cold weather. So please do invite us where there is this very nice cold and, you know, cozy weather where you just want to, you know. All right. Good morning and welcome to, you know, your favorite station, Eagle FM. Your number one talk radio stations. So it's always a pleasure for us to have you. And thanks for choosing us this morning. And thank you, David, for Early Mornings Club. And welcome. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. Your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious. So asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared by you and during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And today is Monday morning, the 17th of the 11th month, and that's the year 2025. So let's, on this day in Africa, we're looking at history and happening that have shaped our past and continue actually to influence our present on the 7th of November. So we begin our journey today in the year 1869, right here on the continent, and the continent in the country of the pharaohs, Egypt. So on November 17th, 1869, a true engineering genius officially opened its gate to the world. That is the Suez Canal. So now imagine, now for centuries, if you wanted to sail from Europe to Asia, you had actually to undertake the long, tiring, and often dangerous voyage all the way around the southern tip of Africa. You pass the Cape of Good Hope, you know, all the way, you know. But with the opening of the Suez Canal connecting the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea, a direct shortcut was actually created. Now, this wasn't just a convenience, so it dramatically transformed the global maritime trade. So making journeys faster, safer, and even cheaper. So imagine you used to, you know, to go around. So it truly brought the world closer together. And it cemented Egyptian strategic importance on the global stage. So a massive undertaking and a testament to human ingenuity. So, and on November 17th, 1855, the Scottish, a Scottish missionary and explorer David Livingstone became the first European to set eyes on the magnificent. It's called magnificent. When I was in Zimbabwe, what how do they call it? Magnificent Mosi-Oa. Yeah, Mosi-Oa-Tunya, I think. Yeah, Mosi-Oa-Tunya, if I remember. Oh, it's in Zambia. Mosi-Oa-Tunya, or the smoke. In English, is that the smoke that thunders? Mosi-Oa-Tunya. Yeah, I remember. It's Mosi-Oa-Tunya, the smoke that thunders, as it was known by the local Kololo people. So, this awesome, this awe-inspiring natural wonder where the mighty Zambezi River fall into a gulf left him absolutely speechless. And he recorded in his diary the sheer power and beauty. And in tribute to his monarch now, he named them Victoria Falls, after Queen Victoria. So that's how we get those Victoria Falls. Now, today, these breathtaking falls continue actually to draw visitors from across the globe, spanning the border of present-day Zambia and Zimbabwe, a truly iconic African landmark. Okay, you must visit if you haven't been at this place. So, and let now transition now to a more celebratory note as we mark the birth of a towering figure in South African politics on November 17th, 1952, in the bustling township of Soweto. Cyril Ramaphosa was born. So from his early days as a fierce anti-apartheid activist and a powerful trade union leader, Ramaphosa rose through the ranks and playing a crucial role in the negotiation that actually led to South Africa's first democratic election in 1994. Well, today, of course, he stands as the president of South Africa, continuing his journey of service to his nation. So a remarkable life dedicated to freedom and justice and progress. So happy birthday, Mr. President Ramaphosa. Happy birthday to you. So, and finally, while not really exclusively African, November the 17th is globally observed as an International Student Day. You know, Students' Day. So this day commemorates the courageous student movement throughout history. And it resonates particularly deeply in Africa. So in South Africa, for example, it is a powerful reminder of the profound legacy of student activism. So especially the young voices who bravely stood against apartheid, against the injustice of apartheid, often at a great personal cost. So it reminds us of the power of youth, intellect, and collective action to drive change and shape the future. So to all the students in our country and in Africa and in the continent out there, past and present, of those who have been fighting or have been involved in liberation struggles as well, like the Nansos of this world. So we salute your spirit and your dedications. So today's International Students' Day. So happy International Students' Day to all students in and outside the continent. All right, so, and that, my friend, is all we have for you today on this day in Africa. 8:10, Monday, November the 17th. Our thought for the day, what the mouth destroys, the mouth can mend. So what the mouth destroys, the mouth can mend, you know, can repair, if you like. So the proverb actually recognized that many misunderstandings, disagreement, and hurts are caused by what people say. Words can destroy relationship, can destroy trust, can destroy harmony. So, just as harm was done with a tongue, so reconciliation should also happen through speaking. The same mouth that caused the damage can be used to repair it. So, in other words, use conversation, negotiation, and dialogue to resolve conflict rather than violence or just being completely silent. So, this proverb rejects the idea that aggression or violence is the way to fix problems. Instead, it elevates communications. So, it insists on responsibility. And the responsibility, if you spoke wrongly, you should use your voice again to make amends. So, what the mouth destroy, the mouth can mend. So, that's our thought of the day. And when you make decision today, make sure that you carry this responsibility. So, if you spoke wrongly, so you should use your voice again to make amends. All right, so that's our thought for the day. All right, so 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, well, welcome on board. Welcome to the family. This is Eagle FM, and you tune into Unpacking the Day. So what can we expect in the show this morning? One is it a time, we're asking a question, is it a time to rethink who represent us at the local level as the local elections are coming up? So, and we're going to look into that. We're specifically going to look at the local associations that are also participating in the elections. Who are they? And we typically go to Katima and look at one, you know, local associations, and we're going to discuss with the chairperson of that local association just to find out what are the ambitions and are they part of the Electoral Act, you know. So that's what we're going to look at, and that's what we're going to look at in just a few minutes, maybe around 2 minutes or 3 minutes. So we will be reaching out to our guest this morning. And if we still have time after that, 612,000 people are at risk of food insecurity during the lean season. So that we're going to look at also what is causing, what is the problem, what is causing that. And your participation will also be part of the show, of course. So, you know, Patero Konji. So you are most welcome as well to participate and share your views and opinion. So that's what we have. As you can see, it's not something you can miss. So we'll come back after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-37.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM.
Ano diha wito kira ka buna imatina onjo. Shika o shafa sana na na nungi shifa ya ishiki mo shiwana. Iya mwalawa, ato yunga bote samweni. Ana go shifa ya namibia, ondi jomba nana onjika. Sa isa nina umayakuro nirandi tomwa ye, yung
yeshifalo ya kutipiramo ito na from Media House. Ngayon din dito yung maneha ulo ka kong bahang kanina. Kara ang pasipregi ito na po yung mga programa dito. Moambo, bingira selma, o darang itatuy mo. Datu-datu, hari ka manong tano? O yaj, ito na film.
So good morning Namibia, welcome to another insightful edition of Unpacking the Day as we head into the local and regional election this November. Many of us are reflecting on how local leadership truly impacts our communities. Now today we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Benson Kapala, the chairperson of the Katima Alliance Development Association, known as CADA. So a local group based in the Zambezi region. CADA, like many other local associations, is stepping up to challenge the traditional political parties and offer a more focused, community-driven approach to governance. The big question on everyone's mind, can local association really make a difference? Do they offer a fresh path to solving our daily problems, or are they just another layer of complexity in the system? Now, Mr. Kapala is here to help us unpack this and share CADA's visions for the upcoming elections. So, good morning, Mr. Kapala, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Thank you very much.
All right. So let's get into this. So for people maybe who just tuning in now who might not know much about CADA, and so what sparked the idea to form this association in the Zambezi region?
Yes. Well, thank you very much. CADA is an organization, an association in the Katima Mulilo Local Authority. It was established some years back.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we were trying our level best to participate in the election. And then we could see that people could not even understand what the meaning of the association itself.
Yeah.
Or rather the difference between the association and some political parties.
Mm.
Yes, then at this point in time, what we are looking at, it is the fact that associations are more important at local governance than political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to look at in this way. We have four different elections in Namibia.
Yeah.
The four different elections. When you look at presidential parliamentary election, this is a constituency-based sort of election, meaning that when you vote for an MP,
you
is not coming from a constituency, his own constituency.
Yeah.
The country becomes one constituency. That is voting for that very country. Even the president is elected in the same way. But if you look at the regional and local government elections, this election is referring to people directly as the grassroots level. That we have to allow the political leadership.
Yeah.
Now, this is where the association is coming in. Because when you vote for an association, it means that you are voting for a direct leadership.
Yeah.
Because the association is based in the very same community. The same trouble that you are passing through is the same trouble that the association is facing. Now, when you vote for, when you elect representatives from political parties, the first thing these people would see is to represent the interest of a political party, not necessarily the community itself. Now, this is the difference. And I should also maybe...
Wouldn't they say that the political party, they represent actually the interests of the community, wouldn't they? Wouldn't be the case when you say that is not exactly the same?
Yes, the understanding of the community, they want to believe that, yes, political parties, they represent them, but which is not the case. Because in the first place, when you are elected or you become a candidate of a certain political party, that particular person represents a political party, not necessarily the community itself.
Mm-hmm.
That is where we have a serious problem. If we go on and we try to look at the, for example, in the Timamulilo Local Authority Council, you realize that there was a situation, I think it was in 2017, where these people were demolished, where people were forced to leave their locations somewhere else. But in the process, there was no plan that if we are evicting you or we are forcing you out of this place, like Luanyanda, the diary compound, if we force you out of these places, where do we take you? These people, they were just pushed and they must see for themselves.
Yeah.
Why the situation like that is happening is simple because the level of representation at the local authority level or the local governance is very, very, very poor.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just that's actually a political party failure to represent its people more effectively rather than to say that they don't represent the local people?
Definitely. I would pick the first point that you have just mentioned to say they are completely failing to reach the grassroots level.
Mm.
If you campaign, my brother, you go out here today and you are campaigning around in the locations and so on, you will hear the negativity of people saying that, why should we elect you?
Yeah.
Because we are electing you just to enrich yourself. Or we are already electing a corrupt person. As you walk and you are a politician, they regard you that you are already corrupt.
Is this always the case, or is that something that happened in an exception situation?
This is always whatever is happening when we look at our elections now, basically. You will definitely find that. Maybe if I can give another example.
Yeah.
If you look at the election in terms of the national election and the regional election, you will see that the voter turnout when it comes to national election, you will see so many people that are voting at that level.
Yeah.
But when it comes to local governance, very few people that are voting.
Mm.
And then this tells you that people are not, the politicians or the political parties are not completely very close to their own people.
Yeah.
Because if these were close to their own people and these people at the grassroots are benefiting from them, that would have been a different case.
Yeah.
Because even the formation of associations wouldn't penetrate because they would say, what is the problem? Because we are already benefiting from what we see, from political parties. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you can realize that there is a very, very, very big situation in terms of representation.
Okay.
It's totally very poor.
Yeah. Now, how do you see local association like CADA now fitting into Namibia's bigger picture of decentralized governance?
That's right. I think that is where we fit in properly. Because I know that some time back I went to sit in that parliament when we spoke about some issues of decentralization.
Yeah.
That weakness, that decentralization is not properly done is not complete at the local governance. That is where we have a serious problem.
Yeah.
Now, this is when we look at CADA, for example, when coming in the local government, it will hasten, or rather, it is going to speed up the process of decentralization. Because if we just leave it for political parties, whatever is going to happen is that political parties are satisfied at national level, but at this grassroots level, there is a very big loophole from the side of political parties.
Yeah. All right. Before we go into some nitty-gritty of the association like yours, like CADA, so can you describe the process of an association like now CADA to register and actually be able to field a candidate? What were the key steps involved in case there are those who would like also maybe to follow suit? Yeah.
Definitely. If you look at the local authority, because when you look at the association CADA, CADA is more specifically on or at the local authority level.
Yeah.
And people that must register, that will make the association to be registered, are voters within the local authority council.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a voter's card, but this voter's card maybe it's at the Gatima constituency level, but you do not have a space where the local authority is indicated on your card, you can sign that card for CADA to be registered as an organization.
Yeah.
And the constitution of this association is more specifically on the local authority area, not necessarily compared to political parties. When you look at political parties, you'll find that their constitutions are more broader.
Yeah.
They look at the country, the vision of the country.
So it should be established for a specific purpose within the local authority. I mean, within the local area. Yeah.
That's right. As CADA, we are completely established for a very specific reason, that our functional responsibility is to look at the local authority itself than political parties.
All right. So now the Electoral Commission of Namibia has specific rules, maybe for this association. What kind of responsibility do you have as an organization to ensure like transparency and fairness?
That's right. When you look at the local or sort of, you know, the electoral law.
Yeah.
The electoral law allows the association basically to operate specifically at the local authority governance.
Mm-hmm.
That is where we operate. We cannot stand at regional election. Even if we want to stand at regional election, unless if we make a serious agreement or cooperation with a political party, or if we choose to have an independent candidate, that is how we can participate at that level of level of regional governance. But at the moment, whatever is happening. We have a
commission coming up quickly and we'll come back. Eh? Just hold on.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. And thanks for joining us. So now, Mr. Kapalan.
Yes.
So the Zambezi region, where CADA is active, faces unique challenges. Can you tell us about some of the key issues Kada is focusing on for the upcoming elections?
Yes, basically what we are looking at, we are challenging the local authority to make sure that Kada is also represented in the local authority. Basically, just to change the governance of the local authority and also the administration of that local authority. It has been for quite a long time now that we have seen political parties running the administration of local authority, but completely failing to make an impact. Katima Mliro has been there, my brother, for quite a long time, even before, prior to independence of this country. But when you look at what is going on in this town, it is completely sort of, you know, you cannot understand what is happening. It's totally, even towns that were established after after independence of this country, they can't even be compared to Katima Mliro. They are very far from Katima Mliro. Now, what is the problem? Why are we failing to develop ourselves? What is going on? This is the reason why Kada is stepping in to make sure that, no, we can do this. What is the problem? Because we cannot think like development should be invested in people that are very far from us. Development should be us, people. If we understand that we can drive this vehicle to make Katima tomorrow to become a city or to become a good sort of, you know, location to be for anybody in the country, then we can do this. There's nothing that can stop us from doing that. So all these challenges that we are seeing around here, this is the reason the formation of this organization, that we have to come in so that we see what is the cause. Why do we have so many challenges compared to other towns in the country?
So now I'm still at the point where looking at, if I belong to a certain party, wouldn't be just kind of like, okay, let's our party that is actually in charge be able to implement what are the programs that that need to be implemented. So in your view then, what makes association different from the traditional political parties when it comes now to tackling community issues?
Yes, I think the most important thing that the association is looking at, maybe that I should give as a general sort of, you know, advice to Namibian people. We tend to be very, very loyal to political parties. And we have seen a situation where political parties are formed and then later this political party dies. Even not in Namibia, but outside, even Southern Africa or Africa.
Yeah.
Political parties will be established and go. But the most important thing that we need to protect as citizens of this country are the laws of Namibia, the laws of the country, the constitution of the country. These are things that we have to stand for and protect them. Because if we cannot protect these things, and whatever is going to happen, then we have a serious problem. Mm-hmm. So if you look at what Kada is trying to do now, this is a constitutional mandate. These are laws, mandates, because we are stepping in when we realize that, no, something is not right. Political parties are not completing, they don't fulfill this responsibility. Then we come in and make sure that the association too should take over from political parties.
You may have some people who may argue that having too many small groups could actually fragment, you know, representation. How do you see Kada contributing to the stronger, more unified community voice?
Definitely, yes. This is Kada is a constitutional mandate, like I've just mentioned.
Yeah.
Fragmentation is brought in if people go out of the laws. If people don't completely understand what the law is saying, they will go out. And if people wants to understand that a political party is your vehicle to whatever, many things might go wrong. What must take drive us to where we are going, the whole country is going, are the laws of the country that we have to protect. I can tell you there was a situation just recently now that is circulating. There's an audio or video or whatever that is circulating. I spoke to the Electoral Commission of Namibia some weeks back, where I was saying that there were political parties that were removed from the local authority of Katimamrio by the minister, Honorable Minister of Urban and Rural Development. And I see these political parties that they are coming back in the election, which I don't understand how they are coming back in the election, while this matter is still under investigation. These are questions that we are looking at. Even political parties are looking at this mess. They can see that this thing is not clean, but they only want to force themselves in and say that, no, what is wrong with that? The only thing they want is to find themselves back in the local authority. But I'm not saying political parties must not come back in the election. All I'm saying is that can't we respect our laws for once? Now, what was the purpose of removing them if there was no offense? These people are not yet charged. We have not known any offense that they have committed. But already the very same people are back again in the system. How are they coming back? Now, all these things are things that we are talking about. So in the absence of Kada, who would have asked that question? Many of the political parties are there watching the system, but they cannot even come up with this question. They may even say that probably my questions might be offensive to them, but which is not right. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just trying to say that can we respect the law at once?
Before now, Kada decided to participate in the elections. How was the association trying to bring about change for the community? Because what I'm asking that question is that how would people actually want to vote Kada when they haven't been actually, you know, involved in the community in some way? So therefore, my question is, how was the association trying to bring about change for the community?
Yes, prior to the election, Kada was there to make sure that there are so many instances where if the community is in trouble, where we would stand and try to defend the situation. But very unfortunate that most of these things that we were doing during that time, they were so informal that they are not formal like what we are doing today, that it should be recorded, that people see that this is what we have done. But in this case, anywhere where we would have seen that there's a problem, Kada will be there. We will send our own people to say, please, can we calm the situation? Can we do this to whatever is going on? We have done a lot around these communities. And even encouraging them to become members of the association, because to become member of an association, it means that you deserve full representation of that organization as well. Because if you are a member of other people and you get in trouble, you may not be able to hear whatever that we are telling you because you belong to another person. But becoming a member of the organization does not necessarily mean we remove you from your political party or something. No, that's not what we are talking about. You can be in your political party, but the space that the association is operating is just at that local governance level where we want to see that we need to cooperate regardless of political affiliations or whatever it is. We need to stand together as one community, as one people, for the benefit of all of us and our children to come.
So the local association aren't bound by the national political agendas. So how does that influence the way Kada prioritizes local issues in the Zambezi?
Yes, can you go back maybe to that question?
What I'm saying is that the local association, they are not really bound by national political agendas, isn't it?
Yes,
please. So how does that they are not actually influenced by the national political agenda, how does that actually influence the way now CADA prioritize the local issues in Zambezi, for example, in the local local area where they would be operating?
Yes, basically, you see that the local governance today,
yeah,
it is completely in the hands of some political parties and so on, and then to make a way to penetrate them, just to give them a different way of view or different way of looking at things. There are some of the people that might think that, no, this is another lie, but which is not the case. Because, see, it's only very unfortunate that most of the people probably we are not so much interested in going through, reading, understanding how the law is operating and so on.
Yeah.
But what we are trying to look at is that we really want to have a proper cooperation with other organizations. Not necessarily that we want to push them away. It is important to work with them so that wherever they are and wherever we are, we deserve to protect our rights as well. The association has its own right. Political parties have their own rights in a way. And that cooperation can help us to develop and make sure that we can develop Katimamliro or any other town and in a very different way.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are the key policy area that CADA wants to focus on? If say, for example, your candidate get elected, are there key specific policy area that CADA want to focus on?
Yes. In the first place, we have, there are so many things that we are looking at. For example, let's try to look at the first thing we want to look at, the infrastructure around this town. Because, for example, if you look at how you can sort of invest, or investors would come to this place and so on, these are some of the things that can attract investors, that can attract visitors from somewhere else when they you have better infrastructures in your town. And then secondly, we are looking at something that I think has been forgotten completely. It is the issue of the sport. Sport is viewed just as an entertainment. But we see so many people in this country today that they call themselves Chelsea, or for those clubs that are very far from them. Why we have our own Chelsea? Why can't we have our own Manchester in our own towns and so on? These are some of the things that people are looking at. We also want to look at the issue of the land, how the land is being sort of, you know, sort of allocated, how you distribute land to, or rather how the land comes to local authority, or acquiring, how local authorities are acquiring land from the traditional authorities. That plan of succession or taking over land is not properly done. You will find that the land at this point in time, it will just be the discussion between the local authority and the chiefs or the tribal authorities, which is not proper. Because when something is secretive, and then it will cause a lot of damages in the process.
Yeah.
Because the very same land that you are talking about, there are already people that are living on that particular land.
Yeah.
And when you give away that piece of land to people, and there's no proper plan, then it means that these people completely, they are going to be affected. And if we look at the constitution of the country, it talks about the simple conversation. I don't know whether there are some discussions in line with the compensating people that are holding land prior to the time that the local authority is taking over that piece of land.
Yeah.
All of these things, we don't see them, that they are happening there. And maybe in addition to most of the factors that we have just that I've just mentioned, we need to make sure that this animal people call corruption and so on, mm-hmm. I believe there is no corruption, basically. We believe so. We can be corrupt if we try to discriminate each other. That whole thing, it is the thing that we need to eliminate when we are looking at this tribe and that tribe and that tribe. Because when you look at our town here, basically,
yeah.
you'll find there's this squabble of tribes having push and pull to say, no, maybe the local authority must be run by another tribe or whatever. We need all people that are living in this town, be it a white person, be it whoever, to make sure that they benefit from the very same resources that they call the resources of their own country. Just in brief.
Yeah. So, now, in your experience, what is the biggest challenge for local association when it comes now to participating in a political system?
Our biggest challenge in the first place is the knowledge.
Mm.
The knowledge that people don't understand the difference between the association and a political party. Because the fact that we are also participating in the election, they cannot even see the difference. That what is the difference if you're also participating in the election?
Yeah.
You can only call yourself association and that one is calling himself political party, but you are the same. But this is a challenge that people don't really understand that. And secondly, the issue when it comes to funding is also one area, because predominantly if people that are living in this town, be it the business community or so on,
yeah.
some of these business community, when it comes to a business, to a community level organization like that one, I don't see any risk. I don't see any trouble for them to say, we can support the association in one way or the other. Probably even to give us some bread or water.
Yeah.
We don't see that as a problem. But it becomes a problem because they believe that there is a certain political party that controls them, which is wrong. That mentality is wrong, because you are not there for that political party. You are there for the community. The land you have comes from the community. The very same community is the one that is buying your food, that is buying your clothes.
Yeah.
If they are not come to your shop, are you going to eat whatever is in your shop? All these people are the people that are contributing to whatever we have. So we have to plow back. That is the only way we can plow back. We are not asking some millions of money, but at least even water. If a person is moving around, even water to say, no, we can help you in this manner.
Yeah.
I think literally, just briefly, those are the challenges that the association is facing. But we believe that they are surmountable. We can completely conquer them in one way or the other.
Yeah. Now, I'll come back to the funding in a minute. So would, just for you maybe to clarify this, would when the associations, would political party actually allow their members actually to participate, to be fitted, for example, in a as a candidate in an association in a local authority,
election?
I think unless if a political party is completely so much ignorant of what the association is doing, because there are candidates in political parties that are not on the list of that political party. But if the association finds this person or this particular person to be a very strong candidate, a person can help the very same community, I don't see any problem for that particular person to become a member. But I know the political understanding of our people in this place. They would say that, no, if you join the association, then you leave our party.
Mm.
Yes, yes. But which is not the case. It was not supposed to be like that. It was not supposed to be like that, because a political party and association, they are two different things. We are not competing at the level of taking the country. The only interest that we are looking at is to save the specific community where we are registered at.
All right. Yeah.
Yes.
So now, as we talk about elections, there's always concern about funding. How does CADA manage its finance, and what role do transparency and accountability play in your company? Because these are very requirement of the Electoral Act.
Definitely, yes. Definitely, yes. We also comply like any other political party in the country. If there is any funding that if we get from somewhere else, this funding will be made known that the Electoral Commission would know that you have such a thing, or you received this funding from such a person, and so on. There is nothing that we can be received that can be secreted to the Electoral Commission.
Yeah.
All of this transparency, and we make sure that the Electoral Commission should be very close to our books if we have funding.
Mm.
But unfortunately, from the time the formation of this organization, it was never funded. It is just some small people, the leadership and so on, that can contribute $200-$300 just to run here and there.
Yeah,
that is exactly how we are living now. But I believe that probably if we find an opportunity to sit in that local government tomorrow, which we think we should, because we deserve it, it's our local authority, than political parties per se. If we have that opportunity, I think then that accountability and that transparency is something that is completely that is needed in terms of the law.
Yeah. No. The other aspect maybe we can open up is the, in your opinion, is there a risk that local association could sometimes be seen as a form of identity politics? I think is something sometimes referred to in a white communities, like identity politics, focusing too much maybe on local issues without considering the broader national picture. So would that be probably kind of seen as a form of identity politics?
Yes, we understand that some of the people will be looking at it in that very format, to look at it as an animal, or maybe a renegade or something. But basically, how we should operate in the country, association is registered within the very same laws of Namibia.
Yeah.
Any other political party is registered within the very same laws of Namibia, and which means that all of us, our interest is to protect and defend the constitution of Namibia. We shouldn't be looking at each other like this person belongs there, that person belongs there. We all defend the Constitution and protect the Constitution of Namibia.
All right. So do you find that the community in Katima, for example, do you find that people are more receptive to local association compared to the national parties? Do you find that is something that is more acceptable?
Yes, because the way I've just mentioned it from the beginning, the way we have elections in Namibia, it really teaches us in a very, very proper way, where you find that basically that when you refer to regional election or you refer to local election, it means something different from national election. Now,
but do people, the people on the ground, do they understand that and they are more receptive to local association?
That is the challenge. That is another challenge because people wouldn't really understand what is the difference between the election at national level.
Yeah.
What is the difference between the regional election? What is the difference between local authority election? If you look at Namibia, for example, all these systems, we have different systems as per election.
Yeah.
Each election has got its own system. That election has got its own system. This is where we lack knowledge. This is where our people struggle to understand. They don't know that you should be in a position to elect a person that is living in your own constituency, not necessarily looking at somebody else or a political party from somewhere else, but you are looking at a person that is there living with you in that constituency.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is where we lack. We lack a lot of sort of, I think maybe there should be a strong point of awareness just to look at these communities to understand the level of politics that we have in Namibia.
Yeah, and how do you see the role of local association evolving in Namibia's democratic landscape in the next 5 to 10 years?
Very wonderful. It is wonderful because we are seeing a situation that in future, when people will begin to understand what is happening, what the role of the association. This role of the association is speaking to their well-being directly. Whatever you are looking for, whether you are looking for water, you look for employment, you look for everything. Mm-hmm. You cannot look for these things in Windhoek or elsewhere. You directly look at these things from your own leadership around you in your own constituency, in your own local authority. Whatever damage, it is not necessarily that we must call the leadership that is in Windhoek to come and solve our own problems here. We have to have the leadership that is capable, that has got capacity, that has got all the brains, machinery to make sure that they can resolve matters of concern around their own communities.
All right.
That is the process. That is what the CADA is looking at.
Mm. All right. Yes. So now, Mr. Kapala, what is your message to Namibians as we approach the November elections? Why should people actually consider voting for a local association like CADA?
Yes, thank you very much. I want to appeal to all the residents of this region, the Zambezi region, and the residents that are living in the Katima Muriro Local Authority to consider electing CADA as an association in the Local Authority Council. The issue here is that they've been under an administration, political administration, that they don't understand, which means that the CADA is among them is living with them, is sleeping with them. It is very important to consider cadre in this election. Even when you are walking, you eat, you must eat cadre, because this is your direct sort of, you know, leadership or direct thing that is going to give you exactly what you require tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Kapala, and for joining us today and sharing your thought on the vital role that local association like CADA can play in shaping the future of local governance here in Namibia. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stay with us for more conversation that matter, only here on Unpacking the Day. So thank you for joining us, and best of luck to CADA and in the weeks to come. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you very much for giving us that opportunity. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Mr. Benson Kapala, the chairperson of CADA. That's Katima Alliance of Development Associations. So when we come back, we allow for you to come through and have your reactions.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Shikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. And if you want to continue listening to Eagle FM, wherever you find yourself, please make sure that you connect it every time. And you can only do that when you actually download the Eagle FM mobile app. And you have us right in the palm of your hand, wherever you go, whether you are in China or you are in Bangladesh or you are somewhere in Kazakhstan, you know, wherever you find yourself. So you will be able to tune in at any time, anywhere in the world. So, well, we're not even speaking about locally, you know, here in Namibia. So you can be able to do that. So welcome. You know, welcome. We were speaking to Mr. Benson Kapala. He's the chairperson of the Katima Mulilo and the Katima Alliance Development Association, CADA. Looking at this local group based in Zambezi. It's a local group based in the Zambezi region. And it's looking at participating into upcoming local elections. So they are stepping up to challenge the traditional political parties and offer maybe a more focused, community-driven approach to governance. So as you have listened to him, so what is your take of some of the aspect that he highlighted and some of the discussion that we have? 0833-66-091 or 0833-66-091. You are most welcome to come through and have your comment. So let's maybe probably just look at this generally. Not specifically looking now to CADA, but looking at the association in generally,
So, and how that actually may be fit into, you know, into the whole upcoming election. So we're talking about the rise, if you like, the rise of association in our local authority elections, as we have seen. So now, what are the, maybe the question we can ask, what are the local associations? So manifesting first. So in Namibia electoral law, a local association is that non-party group, you know, the non-party group that can register with the Electoral Commission of Namibia, ECN, and field a candidate. They can now be able to field a candidate for local authority council, just like a political party. So that is a provision within our electoral law. So, and well, just think of it. Think of it as a community club, that decided to run for council because they want a say. Let's say, for example, they want a say, like what he's saying, in a specific area. So maybe they want water, or they want sanitation in that area, or they want street light, which things they see that are not, you know, are not coming. So things that affect affect citizen every day. So they are not driven by national manifesto like a political party. They are driven by neighborhood needs, you know, things that are happening in the neighborhood.
A very good morning.
Welcome, yes, to morning, my brother.
Morning, how are you?
I'm okay, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Where have you been?
I was busy a bit with something. How is going?
Yeah, so far, so good. It's a Monday.
It's Monday. It's always it's a blue Monday.
I never had one, actually. You know, I always make sure mine is green. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever that green means, you know. Mm.
That's why we have to start a Monday with a positive note. So the whole week to be very, very positive.
Yeah, no, if you start on the right outlook, everything will be great.
Exactly. And some of them are coming with problems, you know, from the weekend. And, you know, a lot of things will happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, your interview.
Yeah.
I think the residents are just doing a good job. Because remember one thing, that this project we are voting on, so much things we rely on the what Portugal to do for us.
Yeah.
And they are failing for the past 35.
Yeah. Do you think this is something we should be, actually people should, citizens should be educated about?
I'm telling you.
It's something that they should be educated about because this is not, you're not competing in a way like what he's saying. You're not really competing with against your party for that matter, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you get an extra, this a council person, he would actually probably still belong to your party with other, you know, members that are on that list, isn't it? You know?
Exactly.
So, and I don't see how you really. And the other thing is that we, on a local level, we want people that can directly represent us, that are coming from our own community, you know,
people we know.
Are just political representation.
We want people we know that at least they are going to develop this because they are belong to the community.
Exactly.
Now you are giving people come from far away and then they, you know, they don't really care whatever development, even if it's taking a Cameroon way, work, they just go with that method.
Yeah.
Even though they know that you, instead of you to go straight to the north, you are going all the way to go to the south, then you come back, going all the way to Kunene, until you come to the north. Well, does it make sense?
Yeah. I have seen this kind of things taken up by, especially by white communities. They normally have this, you know, community club that actually represent their interest, you
very
know.
Much.
And when they vote actually people in that local authority being represented by those people within their community and representing their interest.
This is what it's about to be.
So,
we people who are living in the location like Havana, Goriaha,
yeah.
Kanja Park,
and
we support to elect people who are living with us, not somebody who's having a flushing toilet already.
Exactly.
Don't think that person will care much.
Yeah.
Science is not in the same situation like you who have to wake up.
Because these people are also accessible to you. You can actually go to them and say, what are you? You are not doing anything. We don't see any changes here.
Yeah, this is what when we elect you.
Yeah, when we elect you, it's for specifically about this, you know.
Exactly.
And we don't see anything that is happening. The citizen can put you too much on pressure. But with a political person, sometimes it's very difficult to do that.
They don't care, my friend, because sometimes that's why you see this country, they even get the people that, you are not the one who elect you. Then you are like, what?
Yeah.
How can you say you are not the one who elect you, but you make it? That's why your party win. But it is because they are political appointed, and you guys are just giving a floor.
Yeah, so they will say, I'm not the one who make a promise of 500,000 jobs.
Yeah, he will tell you. They're looking in your face. I'm telling you, that's why you go there to the country and then we tell you, even shut the door in your face. They say, you are bothering me, don't come here again. If I see you again here, I'll call the police.
Yeah.
You say, now what are we going to do? But a club like this one, and that's why you see the white community, why they are prospering is that wherever you see them, they're always trying to upgrade themselves.
Yeah.
Even one is suffering, they always come together, they contribute finance, they give it to that person to come into their level. But in our situation, even our own family, they are not even doing that. I'm telling you, you will see our uncle is getting rich every day.
Yeah, no, they easily. This is a story that Kanjengo used to talk about. They can easily buy you, you know, drink and booze. You know, spend
thousand in you, like even try to make you check out even musicians.
Yeah. So
what do we do with them?
But if you ask them,
saying,
just
no, I see my brother suffering. Yeah, let me take you to a street house. I will buy a T-shirt or whatever.
Mm.
No, you say no. Get a bottle of, and that bottle is costing what? 600, sometimes 800. What does, and then you see the person, well, even the way he was wearing, he's only wearing Avanasia, sometimes even with what? Wires.
Yeah.
In between. You see, toe. But now you are buying expensive drinks for that guy.
And that amount, this lady just needed actually a 5,000 to upscale up her production or whatever the case may be of to go and buy her whatever that can actually lift up more her business than, you know. But 5,000, you will never give it. But if they ask him for drink, you will buy them drinking.
I'm telling you, somebody did. Now you are contributing. You even end up going to what? 100,000.
Yeah.
But that person was living in misery when he was alive.
Yeah.
Ah, come on, man. This is a hard time also. So, and this is a thing which we need in our society.
Yeah.
For the Katima with the what? What's the name? Kata.
Kada, yeah.
Kada, yeah. Mm. You see, this is a thing which we need in our community. Because I'm telling you, most people are not educated when it comes to this. And they think wherever you are going, that's why up to now, a lot of people are just voting because they associated that now once you vote to another party, the vote will come. But there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's a democracy. Everybody has to exercise. And this is the problem I'm blaming those who are association with us about what to educate people, even in Asian themselves. They supposed to have a department where they are educating, not only you to make a cross.
Yeah.
Educating people about their democracy, how they are going to vote. This is what happening. When you vote this person, but you are not sure if this person is going to drive. And this.
Yeah, like this provision is within the electoral law. It is in the electoral law.
And so, it's a hard time. Yeah, it's a hard time also to have this councillor debate.
Yeah.
You are just giving a person, but you don't know even. You never even see this person in your whole life, but it's representing your community.
Exactly.
It's making a decision with towards your future. And the end of the day, because you are associated to that party, you just vote because this person is, even if not, you know that it's not even capable. And it's that time also, seriously. Yeah. I think it's a good thing what is happening in Katima. And you remember, the Katima is one of the what I think these people, they know how to really, when it comes to themselves, they know how to handle the issue. It's the same with Rundu. Yeah. Once they stand up, they stand up. Nothing like Adaka lead in a way, you see. People are just talking, but they never act, take action at all.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Really, I'm proud that they come up with something really. And it's a hard time.
Yeah.
If they are individuals, they know that, yes, this is how we are going to do about our life.
Yeah. That's the challenge, as he said, is the question that I ask him, is this receptive? Is this something the community understand and they accept this as they used to traditional political party, you know? So which he said, it's a challenge because the community are not really, you know, aware.
Yeah,
and understand, and I think this is also the whole idea for us to, you know, to talk about this and people to be sensitized to understand that there are, if there are no difference, if there's nothing happening in your community, you know, there are different ways you can bring change. You yourself can bring change by having people from that you yourself representative of your own community to bring change. You know?
For me, the challenge also is that they come a little bit too late.
Yeah.
If they start early, maybe they educating people and the people understand. And I'm telling you, they are supportive to scope some of the chair in Katima Mrilo when it comes to local authority.
Yeah.
But when you are seeing now, it's too late, a little bit too late, because to educate people now with you are having like 5-6 days, to go to election, it's a little bit too late. But anyway,
yeah. But we have 29. We have 29 that have actually resisted for this 29 association for 2025 vote.
You see now, 29
association. Yeah, we do have 29 association.
Yeah,
you know that is an already approved.
Yeah, but for me, the problem is that people are not understanding, because when you are joining association, it's just like when you are joining what local representative, what do you call this? You are choosing a union to represent you.
Yeah.
Whereby the matter when it comes to dispute with your employer. But the problem is that people are not aware if there are things like that where you are having people to represent the community.
Mm.
But if it was educated with a time, I'm sure they would do a lot of damage when it comes to this election. But anyway, we will see the outcome. Anyway, Mike, let me give other people a chance to come through.
Thank you for coming through, man.
All right, my brother.
All right. Our 333-66-09-091. Our 333-66-09-091. So we're talking about the local association, you know, stepping up to take part in the local authority council elections. So, as I said, this is something within our legal provision. So the backbone is the electoral Act number 5 of the 2014. The act tells us exactly how can associate can join the race, how if you are in wherever you find yourself, how you can actually join the race. Register with ECN. That's what you do. You submit an application, list representatives, provide physical address, all those kind of things.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Buen dia, familia. Mwindu tempo.
Mwindu brigar. Monday. What is Monday in Portuguese?
Segunda-feira.
Segunda-feira.
Yeah, segunda-feira.
Yeah. Mwindu bay.
Yeah, muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing well, my brother?
No, we're okay. We are fine. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's good.
Life is what it is. What you are now, it's what it is.
Yes.
And if you're not making best out of it, You know, you will postpone every time. I will be okay next week. I will be okay tomorrow. I'll be okay. And you're never okay until you're in the grave.
Yeah. Life not fair, but I feel okay.
I
just want to I complain.
Yeah.
You know, when I have this some kind of problem, I think it's too long now. Like, you go to our airport. You go to airport when you want to connect to the Wi-Fi, is a long process. Sometimes tell you now you are connected, but are not working. What's the problem with the airport?
Let's completely something different, man. We can cover something like this some other time. Seriously, yeah.
Okay. That was my point, but I don't know what they're talking because I just standing out.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
All right. All right, that's taking us away completely. You know, I can allow something that can link a little bit to what we're talking about, but if it's completely, you know, in a different arena, please. Let's get to what we're talking about. If it's in the same, if it's about elections and, you know, and policies and things like that, yeah, so definitely I would allow that, yeah. So I was just saying that the Electoral Act number 5 of 2014, the Act tells us exactly how an association can join the race. You have to register with ECN, submit an application, a list of representatives, and provide a physical address as well where is actually you are allocated. So, and then get published in the Government Gazette. This makes the registration now official when it's published in the Government Gazette. So then nominate candidates. So the same deadline and paperwork as parties. Now it's you exactly do the very same thing. And you follow the Code of Conduct 257 of 2024. Where you now asset declarations, funding, disclosures, like I was asking him as well, and no vote buying. So as long as you don't buy some vote somewhere, you know, so all that. So ECN has already, as I said, approved about 29 associations for 2025 vote. One of them is in Katima Mulilo, which is the Katima Alliance, Development Association Kanda that we're talking to Mr. Kaapala, you know, as who is a chairperson. Now, maybe the question one could also, now I'm bringing it generally to you to think about, is also that, do you think maybe local association could be actually, you know, could they be a game changer? Could probably make a difference in first of all, when we look at the previous elections, there were voter apathy, you know, and as we know, Namibia has a decentralized system. Local authority councils run the day to day services of our communities, water, waste, urban planning, all those kind of things. So regional council represent a large constituency when we're talking about regional council. And the problem really has been over the years is the voter apathy, especially when it comes to local authority councils and also regional councils. There has been a voter apathy. And in 2020, hopefully that's going to be changed. But it continues. In 2020 regional election, the last one, only about 38.26% of eligible voters turned up. 38.3% of eligible voters actually turned up. That was very disappointing, okay? So, and the same story for local authorities, you know, low turnout, normally that's equal, when now is there's a low turnout, that's equal to less accountability, and party can take seat for granted. In most cases, they can take seat for granted. So, yeah, Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
I'm fine. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Good.
Yeah.
No, it's good for the competition.
Yeah.
For demography to be healthier.
Yeah.
But then the only problem is that maybe I missed those points with your interview with the chairperson of the association.
Yeah.
But then I did not hear that what is it that they are going to do differently.
Yeah, no, he mentioned a couple of things. I asked him exactly the same question. So to say, what is that? What are the your aim when now the upcoming election? What is that you're going to change?
I've got it. Is that not, are those not the same aims that the others are also preaching? So, which are really, there's no major difference, actually.
Yeah, but the difference he's saying is that they are part of the community. They are in local. They are in that local. They are part of the residents of the community.
Yes.
And in some cases, as he said now, in the political party, their representatives are not there. So, I think that's what he said.
They are community. You see, when you look at the structure within the community, even political parties and all these other associations, they also have structures within the community. So, of course, there are members there. That's why people do elect their people from the constituency or from those areas until to the national level. So now their strategy, being that, yes, we know that the members are within the community. Now those members within the community, how are they going to address their needs, their concern, their strategic needs or regional needs or whatever, differently from others? That's what I did not get.
Yeah.
So I did not get that material difference that they were going to they are going to address. I know that they are going to address those needs, address all these needs, but now others are also saying so.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to know that kind of the material need really that they are going to distinguish themselves from others. Which I did not get. Maybe it's my reasoning or my understanding of the language.
Yeah.
So it's good that, yes, people need to be safe, and there is a need for people to go down to the community and convince them on their developmentary agenda and their needs. And people should have that conviction that, yes, our needs, our social needs, our political needs are going to be addressed.
Yeah.
Through this organization and things like that. So thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, man, for coming through. All right.
Welcome.
Yeah, those are all questions, you know, and valid questions as well. So, yeah, and how do we then put into that actions some of this, you know, ideas that you're talking about? Yeah, so... as I was saying, that in 2020, in the regional elections, only about 38.2.3 of the eligible voters turned up, and which was actually the very same story of the local authorities. So now, there has been some study that shows that local association can flip that script, you know, because they are hyper-local. They speak the language of the community. They can rally neighbors around a single issue. For example, let's come back after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu wali rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu media peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwe so kwika ovingi no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva o presente dano ko miedhe vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo ko miedhe hambu umwe moshimariva o presente umirongo ivari na dano komedia mulongwana vivari no shimarifu. Itororera ondengu zima yungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishuhina omarifiro. Imba o maorongane no owiru haka enina itako na wina rishangika ntinon.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And thanks for joining us at this point in time. And we're talking about local associations who... If they are actually the game changer when it comes to local authority election, so one thing that he probably mentioned is that the because of their hyper local then they can be able to relate. They can be able to speak the language of the community. They can rely on rally neighborhood around a single issue where, because they focus, they can focus on something, on one thing. Fixing, let's say, for example, we're talking about Zambezi. You're from Zambezi and you promise, say that you're fixing the flood prone road in the Zambezi region. Definitely that would bring people to the polls who otherwise stays home. So that's what we're talking about now, the apathy, because, you know, they felt kind of like a feel. These are promises, but it doesn't mean that this would probably happen. But in terms of a pool, you know, would actually then be able to push some people to, you know, to go to the polls. You know, for example, you know, the Zambezi region flood every rainy season, cut off villages from health clinics. Now, a community group that promises a proper, let's say, for example, a proper drainage system. So definitely can mobilize farmers, teachers, and elder alike, you know? And that, it's a concrete. So in that way, that's a concrete promise. You can see, you can touch, and you can feel it in your backyard. But whether the promise will be fulfilled, it's another story. But I'm talking now in terms of the pool, in terms of bringing people to the polls who otherwise stays, because now they feel that you are actually addressing their issue. You understand? So a specific issue, which is really pertinent to or pressing to that particular local council, to that particular local area. So I think there was in 2022, studied by the University of Namibia, Namibia's Department of Political Science, looked at the 2015 local elections, the first time association were actually allowed to run, because this was the first time. Now we have some association were allowed to actually run. So the findings was the civic engagement rose actually by 12%. In municipal where the association contested. So there has been actually that increase in terms of civic engagement. And the youth turnout also increased modestly, but not really hugely. Students said they felt represented. So that's according now to the study. So the same research warned of, they also warned of a possible downside. I asked the very the same question, that if too many tiny groups wins seat, that's a tiny group, this one and that, it can fragment decision making. They can fragment decision making in a council chamber. So slowing down the bigger projects that sometimes need to be decided on. So those are some downsides, possible downside of those. Now, but the debate is maybe it's actually more looking at
Is this strengthening? Would it actually strengthen it? Like the previous caller? Yes, it's a good to have choices. Yeah, which is good to have choices. Is it strengthening or is it actually diluting, say, accountability? Would it strengthen? What are the pro and cons of association, of local association participating in local and regional local authorities, because they can't participate in regional one? So now, some pros is that the more choices, the more voices equal more competition, as someone said just now. And better service could be better service delivery because there is competition. And imagine four different groups, each focusing on a specific problem. One is on water, one maybe the other one on the road, education or health. So that could push, actually, that could actually push the council to act faster. You understand? So there is advantage in terms of those, for those now thinking in the pro. In the cons, too many small factions, can lead to a gridlock, you know? If each association holds a single seat, for example, they might trade vote for petty concessions instead of actually tackling the bigger picture, you know? So, and there is a real fear also among those, some party leaders. Will we lose control of the agenda? Sometimes that could be the case when you have, you know, this smaller faction actually taking up some, you know, some single seat and making up a bigger majority. So they worry that community group, let's say, for example, lack the experience to manage budget, you know, bigger budget. And there would be maybe some kind of misallocation to, you know, leading to then some kind of misallocations of funds, of the budget within the local authority. So that those are some of the concerns. But remember, every council seat still needs a majority to pass a motion. So, and association must collaborate. They have to collaborate, or otherwise you risk being sidelined. So in that sense, they are forced to be accountable to each other and not just to a party hierarchy or something like that. So I think that's also one thing that you need to bear in mind. Yeah. So, yeah. What? So what is your take? 0833-66091. So what is your, yeah. But there's also something that probably headlines you have seen focus on most of the time on numbers. 20, let's say, for example, 29 association registration and things like dates and the legal checklist. But what is missing there sometimes is the human angle, how this group are built, you know, like what he was talking about, that they never actually get any cent from any. So it's who the volunteers are and the financial realities they face. So there's also a human element to this, which is not spoken about. So if you coming in an area, in an area that's more rich area, you know, some places like Swakopmund and Wavish Bay, you find them sometimes, you know, having that kind of associations, and certain part of Windhoek. So, yeah. So sometimes, unlike parties, you know, association often run on normally donation from small businesses, for maybe church contributions. Yeah, it does happen. And also, if there are things that need to be done, you have volunteer who will labor, who will actually do the work. So, and that raises a question about sustainability. Can they keep a campaign going without the deep pocket of the National Party, for example? So, yeah. And sometimes you have this risk of, you know, co-optation. You know, some large parties have tried to adopt the community groups and giving them funding in exchange for loyalties. So that happened as well. So, and that becomes a little bit of a problem. It could blur the line now between, you know, independent association and party affiliate. You understand? So, yeah, so now it's your turn. What is your turn? It's your turn, Namibia. So the ballot box on the 26th November would decide whether a community group like CADA get a voice. That's up to you. And if we just can maybe conclude this, looking at what we talked about, is that local association really are a new ingredient, if you like. It's more like they are a new ingredient in Namibia's democratic stew. You know, when we have a stew, those are the new ingredients that are coming up. They bring in local focus. They can boost turnout, according to the study from UNAM. But they may also complicate the council dynamic. Okay, one also has to be aware of that. So the law gives them a clear path, you know, but success will, of course, depend on the ground level commitment of people and voter participation. So, and mark your calendar. So November 26, 2025, whether you back a party or an association, or you just want change. So your voter, write this new chapter, write this next chapter. Definitely make sure that you are ready only a few weeks before we get to the voting booth. All right. So when we come back, maybe we can look at our second story. So for the day with the minutes that have left, or you can come through and have your a contribution or your opinion on what we have discussed so far.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuitemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongotisamwene. Ana geshefa ya Namibia ompitombwa nawa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randisoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onarahi tatuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
That's very true. This is for Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave and beyond, and definitely beyond. So good morning to you. You are tuning Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM, coming to you direct live from Ondangwa Studios. This is your space of breaking down the headlines and asking the tough questions and making a sense of the stories that truly affect you and me. And in this time, let's zero in on food, all right? And not just food on your plate this lunchtime or tonight, but whether there will be food enough for nearly 1/5 of Namibians in the month ahead. So now, between October this year and March next year, 612,000 of our fellow citizens, probably you are part of the statistics, you know, that is about 20% of the population survey, are projected to face higher level of acute food insecurity. Now, well, this is not just statistics. You know, when we talk about statistics, sometimes we'll get lost into statistics. Actually, this is your neighbor. This is your neighbor who's, I see some of my neighbor who have some goats. Maybe so a neighbor whose goat have stopped producing milk. Okay? So it's the grandmother in Kavango, Kavango West, who quietly skip a meal, you know. So he doesn't have all the meals now so that her granddaughter or grandchildren can eat. And that's a reality. So I'm making an example of certain things we have talked about. And yes, it's even that worker, you know, that worker in Windhoek who's now paycheck or pay, you know, salary is shrinking against, you know, rising food prices. So that's what we're talking about. So that's the statistic that we're talking about. Now the number comes from the Integrated Food Security Phase Classifications, the IPC. It's not the political party, but the IPC stood for Integrated Food Security Phase Classification. Now, that's actually a global standard for measuring hunger, okay? So it's a global standard for measuring hunger. So the IPC says, it says that 612,000 people in IP are in IPC phase 3, or worse actually, or worse between, or it could be IPC 3 or could be worse between October 2025 to March 2026. So our food reserve are at only 15% of capacity. So 3,505 tons in the National Strategic Food Reserves. That's all what we have, 15% at 15% capacity. So, well, the usual, now compound that with high unemployment that are at 36.9, and you're talking about annual food inflations at 6.4, that was 6.4 in June, you know, 6.4% in June. So now the lean season. So the lean season for those who probably you don't live by crop circles like some of us. So is the period between planting and the next harvest. That's what is referred to the lean season. So when the last season's food is running low, excuse me. Yeah, when the last season food is running low and may definitely prices sometimes goes up when the food is getting, you know, prices goes up or tend to go to increase. So in Namibia, that is between that's typically October to March. So that's the season. Now this year, the lean season could be rougher than usual. And we have normally, you know, those regions that are mostly hit by this. So you have Kunene, you have Kavango West, you have Zambezi, you have Maheke, some of those. Some of these places are already faces, actually already facing structural poverty. Eh? They're already facing structural poverty. They're already facing poor infrastructure, you know. And you know that recurring climate problems or shocks that some of these regions always experience. So now, for us maybe to make, how do we change this? It's only when we know the key drivers of this crisis. What are the key drivers of this crisis? So why are we staring at this problem now? You know, why are we staring at this problem now, especially after report say food security had improved earlier That's what we're taught. Food security has improved earlier in 2025. That has been said. Now, there are three big points why are we staring at this problem now. One is actually, apparently, the discontinuation of a drought relief program. Yeah, in August, government ended its drought relief program. This was a policy decision, so it may have been, could be because maybe of budgetary reason, you never know, or because the rainfall had improved and the grazing looked better. So, yeah, it was actually then discontinued in August. But the issue is the lean season isn't about green, you know, it's not about green grass in September. It's not about that. It is about household food stock, you know, lasting until March. So you understand? So that's the whole thing. Eh? And now we're facing, you know, these very problems because we have, you know, stopped the program earlier. So, yeah. So ending relief when vulnerable households are still recovering can open up that gap again. It can open up that gap. Yeah. So the other big point is also unemployment and loss of income. Namibia unemployment, as we said, is at 36.9, depending, you know, which, you know, statistics you look at. And it means fewer households have cash actually to buy food when self-produced supplies, especially during the rain, get finished, run out. So we talked about reduced labor opportunities, not only in the rural areas, you know, and especially in the rural areas it had those seasonal workers who depend on crops harvesting. So, and sometimes those are in the rural area, depend also on the tourism. Okay. Tourism that are visiting in those areas. So when there aren't enough tourists coming, you know, coming in your area, so that contribute as well. And also we haven't seen a lot of construction this year. That has been actually a problem of capital project. We haven't seen much of the capital project this year. So those are some of the big driver. So, and then of course the inflation, the purchasing power. So food inflation at 6.4 in June. Well, doesn't sound too bad. Of course, it doesn't sound too bad, but when your income is statistic, when the salary doesn't move or actually falling, falling actually, when it's falling, it's not even, you know, it's 6.4. It's not bad. It's not bad. But if your income is just statistic, definitely, and or even going down, definitely that would have impact. Every dollar buys less. Everything now you buy less. And it's just like someone who said, look, when somebody said the thing is expensive, it's just that, no, you just not paid enough for you to be able to afford it. It's not expensive. It's just that you're not paid enough to be able to afford it, you know? So in rural markets, we have certain staple food like maize meal, cooking oil, and meat. Yeah, those jump up higher than average inflations, you know. So, and that changes your dietary requirement as well, you know, and this contribute to people's health. So, but we're talking about this, but we have, when we look at our legal and policy framework, what are they saying about all this? So what are they saying? We have legal framework that actually under the Namibia National Development Plan, for example, Development 6, Plan 6, NDP 6, food security and resilience, that's in there, are priority area. These are priority areas. So we have a policy language about strengthening agricultural productivity, irrigation schemes, and strategic reserves. So those are, you know, priorities that are in NDP 6 in regarding this. The Agricultural Land Reform Act, the Communal Land Reform Act, the Water Resources Management Act, you know, all touch on access to land and water. You know, the key for household, where they're talking about household gardens and crop reliability. So all this, you know, is within our law, and we just don't see the implementation of those. So, and this is the challenge. Policy intention often collapse. They collapse at the implementation stage. That's where the policy, our policies, many of our policies, they suggest when it's come to implementation stage, bah, they collapse. So the strategic food reserves, okay, are supposed to act as a buffer in exactly this kind of lean seasons. Yet they are sitting, and you see, they are sitting at only about 15% capacity. Why? So now you have to ask, is it procurement delays? Is it budget cut? Is it poor forecasting? Why? That's the question. So, and also, we also have, you know, that we have also a poverty eradication policy. We have policy, poverty eradication policy. We even had a ministry of poverty eradication. What did that ministry actually did? What did they do? The poverty eradication ministry, what did they do really? They didn't even lift a finger, seriously. The ministry itself, these were just people who actually, you know, when they collect their salary at the end of the month, but what did they do? So we have a poverty eradication policy. It talks about safety net. We have food for work schemes. You know, there's food for work scheme, but are they being scaled to match unemployment levels? Definitely not. So if 612,000 people are at risk, is the safety net bigger enough? Is it bigger enough? Is it, or maybe it's full of holes? So now, a report like the IPC, sometimes they are data driven, okay? So you also have to be very careful. So they are data driven, but we also must ask, what is not in the data? Okay? It's a funny way. So what is not in the data? So much of the focus sometimes is just on the rural, you know, area, but there's also urban hunger. There's also urban hunger. We often focus on the rural areas for food insecurity. That's what the focus. And that become a kind of obsession. And then, you know, we function as if we have, what is those things that you put on the horses? Blipper or whatever they call it? What is those things that horses cannot be able to see on the side? They only stay straight. What is blipper? Blipper? I can't remember. So we only focus on the rural area for food security. But Windhoek informal settlement also face unaffordable food prices and limited cooking facilities. So what about the urban hunger? If 36.9% of Namibians are unemployed, so the food insecurity spread beyond the farmer. It's not just in the rural, it's also everywhere. So we talked about the climate unpredictability. The report notes improved rainfall in 2025. Okay? In 2025. But Kunene still faces food flood damage and also felt fires and, you know, poor soils, all those kind of things. So improved grazing in one season, it doesn't erase vulnerability. You understand? So if we plant, if we plan only on last season's weather, definitely our buffer will always be thin. It will be always then, you know, small. Now, and here's the biggest question before I hand over to France. Now, I want you to think this, really. Here's the biggest question for me. Okay? Yes. Thank you, Dr. John. So it's blinkers, all right? So, yeah, thank you. Now, here is my big, before I give it to Dr. John, here is the biggest question. Why is Namibia now with dams over 85% full, with dams 85% full, well, at that time they also report decent grazing and a 75 jump in communal crop production earlier this year. Now, 75 jump. You know, the report, when they reported 75 jump in communal crop production earlier this year. Why are we still seeing reserve at just 15% capacity? So why are we seeing, you know, the reserve is at just 15% capacity with all that, you know, that has been, you know, reported earlier on this year? Where does this hint? It hints at a systemic issue. Systemic issue. There must be issue in storage, in distribution, in, you know, what? In market incentives. Yeah. Definitely there must be issues. So, well, yeah. So, yeah, Namibia is looming food insecurity according to the, you know, the IPC. And it is about decision who gets support and when and for how long. It's about whether our policies match really the lived reality of our household, cutting meals to survive. That's a reality in some regions. So we have good, apparently we have got full dams, better grazing and sign of recovery, but reserves are low, prices are higher. Unemployment makes buying food tough. So the lean season will test our ability to protect the most vulnerable. It really will. So, all right. So let's talk. Let's keep talking. So you have been listening to Unpacking the Day with me right here on Eagle FM. What is your view? Should drought relief continue through the lean season, or should we focus on building a self-sufficiency? So that's the question. You may continue actually discussing with your colleague at work, at home, wherever you find yourself. So let me hand over to Tate France, coming up with Akutha Mosha. We're crossing over to Windhoek for me, Mike Oshoveni. I'm wishing you a very productive week ahead. And then let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM. So goodbye for now.